Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Personal Finance for Teens and College Students, 101, Money Secrets You, Wish You Learned in High School by Julian Paul is a personal finance guide aimed at teenagers and college age. Readers who are beginning to make independent money decisions, positioned as an introductory financial literacy book. It focuses on practical habits rather than technical investing theory, with an emphasis on debt avoidance, smart borrowing choices, and everyday money management. The book presents itself as a corrective to what the author sees as inadequate financial education in schools, arguing that young people need direct guidance on how money, credit, and banking actually work. Its purpose is educational and preventive to help readers build a healthier relationship with money early, before costly habits form. Based on the available material, the book also draws on the author's background in the financial industry and frames financial freedom as attainable through disciplined habits, informed decisions, and awareness of common institutional traps. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a practical rebuttal to school-based financial education. One of the book's central ideas is that formal education often leaves students unprepared for real-world money decisions. Rather than treating finance as an abstract academic subject, the book argues that young people need direct instruction in how money behaves in daily life, especially when they begin earning, borrowing, and spending on their own. This framing gives the book a corrective purpose. It is not only teaching finance, but also challenging the gap between classroom learning and practical financial reality. That distinction matters because teens and college students are often making their first major decisions about loans, credit cards, and budgeting at exactly the point when they have the least experience. The book positions itself as a bridge between ignorance and action, offering a more applied form of financial literacy than many standard school programs provide. Its value lies in making money management feel immediate, concrete, and relevant to early adulthood rather than distant or theoretical. Secondly, debt, credit cards, and banks as the main financial pressure points. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that debt, credit card companies, and banks are the main forces young people must learn to manage carefully. This is not presented as a conspiracy story, but as a warning that these institutions are designed to profit from misunderstanding and poor habits. For a teen or college reader, that perspective is especially important because first exposure to financial products often comes through student loans, credit cards, and basic banking accounts. The practical implication is that readers should not simply accept financial offers at face value. They should understand terms, costs, and long-term consequences before signing anything. By identifying these three pressure points, the book creates a simple framework for thinking about risk. That framework is useful because beginners need categories, not complexity. Instead of overwhelming readers with every possible financial issue, the book focuses attention on the most common areas where young adults can lose control of their money. Thirdly, building a healthier relationship with money before adulthood hardens habits. Another important theme is the emphasis on money habits as something formed early and repeated over time. The book suggests that financial independence depends less on luck and more on disciplined behavior, such as saving consistently, avoiding unnecessary debt, and making intentional choices with spending. This makes the book more than a list of tips. It is also a behavioral guide. For younger readers, that matters because habits formed in high school and college often continue into working life. The book appears to treat financial literacy as a personal discipline that includes self-awareness, restraint, and planning. In that sense, it addresses not only what to do with money, but how to think about it. The practical strength of this approach is that it encourages readers to replace impulsive decision-making with systems and routines. Rather than promising quick wealth, it focuses on the groundwork that makes later stability possible. Fourthly, borrowing for college as a decision that deserves scrutiny. The book gives special attention to the question of whether students should borrow money for school, reflecting how central student debt is to the financial lives of its audience. This is a meaningful focus because many young adults accept borrowing as automatic without considering repayment burden, interest, or alternatives. The book does not appear to argue that every form of borrowing is wrong, but it does encourage readers to question assumptions about college costs and the long-term effects of financing education with debt. That approach is useful because it pushes readers to think in terms of trade-offs rather than slogans. For teens and families, this can mean comparing different paths. Understanding loan obligations and recognizing that education decisions have financial consequences beyond tuition. By treating student borrowing as a strategic choice rather than a default behavior, the book helps readers develop a more realistic understanding of the cost of higher education and the importance of financial planning before enrollment. Lastly, financial freedom as independence, not just comfort. The book frames financial freedom as more than having enough money to live comfortably. It links money management to independence, peace of mind, and even the possibility of early retirement if the reader develops the right habits. That broad definition is significant because it gives financial literacy a long-term purpose beyond short-term budgeting for young readers. The idea of freedom is especially powerful when it is tied to choices, the ability to avoid destructive debt, reduce stress, and make life decisions without being controlled by financial pressure. This also helps explain why the book emphasizes early learning. If financial freedom is a result of habits repeated over years, then teens and college students are at the ideal stage to begin. The book's approach stands out because it connects everyday money decisions to life trajectory, showing that financial competence is not just about being responsible today, but about creating greater optionality in the future. In conclusion, this book is best suited for teens, college students, and parents or educators looking for an accessible introduction to personal finance. It is especially useful for readers who are facing their first loans, credit cards, paychecks, or budgeting decisions and want a straightforward framework for avoiding early mistakes. Its main benefit is practical orientation. It focuses on the kinds of money choices young adults actually encounter, rather than on advanced investing concepts that may be premature for beginners. It can also help readers think more critically about debt, borrowing for education, and the financial products offered by banks and credit card companies, compared with many personal finance books that are aimed at adults with existing incomes and assets. This one is targeted earlier in life and is designed to shape habits before they become costly. What differentiates it most is its emphasis on financial literacy as a foundational life skill for young people, paired with a skeptical view of conventional financial education. In that sense, it functions as both a primer and a warning. If you would like to support Julian Paul, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.